my friend. When no one cared, I was alone, but you were there. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, make it what you have it be. I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Borrowed treasures, borrowed dreams, all life joys you've given me. When trouble comes, you're always there to make me smile. So come what may, thy will be done. I love you, Jesus, God's only Son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened.
Praise the Lord. Good to be here tonight. The preacher had mentioned memories back when Brother Caleb and I were in that same office over there. If you ever go in that office, the cabinets at the bottom, they're very deep. They go back very deep, like 20 feet back deep type of thing. And I remember I was in the financial office there, and I intercom Brother Caleb because I knew he was in our office. I said, Brother Caleb, I couldn't hear anything, any response from him. I knew he was in that office somewhere. So I walked over to the office. Hey, Brother Caleb, and I'm not in the office yet. And I hear, yes, sir, brother, but it was very muffled. I walk in the office. All I see is feet sticking out of that cabinet. He went all the way in there looking for a book. All I can think, man, that guy's aggressive. Praise the Lord. I tell you what. So, man, we had wonderful memories. And I can tell you, I can embarrass myself as well with all the memories over there in that office together. But we thoroughly enjoyed ourselves over there. Praise the Lord. I want to thank you folks, first of all, for many things. First of all, I want to thank Preacher for letting me come tonight. I always enjoy coming back to Faith Baptist Church. This is my family back here. I have a family over there in Quincy, which I love dearly, and I praise God for them. But you folks are family as well, and I praise the Lord for it. Thank you, Brother Bragg and FBA, for having me. I enjoy it. I have a lot of fun. I can act obnoxious on purpose up there with the kids. We enjoy it. It's like a cement. It bonds us together. Amen, I tell you what. And of course, I thank all you folks here for praying for Kelly. I can't thank you enough for praying for her. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate the gifts. I appreciate the phone calls. I appreciate all you've done for her. Appreciate it, all you folks do for her. You don't know what it means to us, the prayers of you folks and the gifts and the cards, everything else. So thank you so much. I appreciate all you've done for us. Let me give you a quick update of Grace Baptist Church of Quincy, what God's been doing. And all the glory goes to Him. None of it goes to me by any means. I promise you that. This past year, we had our first primary camp. We had enough folks that were members that were serving faithfully that we could have our first camp at the church. We had 7 children in the primary age there. We had a lot of fun. And I was more blessed. The adults were able to help be a part of that 3-day camp. We had our fourth vacation Bible school this year. That was a blessing. I don't have time to go into it, how God just blessed with those men fixing a bus in the middle of town, right in a busy highway within 5 minutes and got it going. And we had 11 young children trusted Christ their Savior during those 3 days. That was a blessing. We're having our second missions conference coming up next month, and with God's grace, I believe the faith promise commitments come in. We'll have a total of 7 missionaries we'll have supported. So he's so good. I give him glory. None of it goes to me. I just want to share what's going on. And of course, the building, we're still there in the Pear Tree Villa. I thank God that he has us somewhere in Quincy, amen, and serving, and he's good. I just wait on his timing and what he would do. So I appreciate your prayers in that regard. Jeremiah 5:22. And while you're turning there, as my custom is to tell a couple jokes, amen. So a couple jokes for you. Jeremiah 5:22. While I turn, let me give you a couple jokes if I can. Church feuds are not uncommon, especially among cliques in the congregation. But when the pastor and choir director get into it, stand aside. One week our preacher preached on commitment and how we should dedicate ourselves to service. The director then led the choir in singing, "I Shall Not Be Moved." The next Sunday, the preacher preached on giving and how we should gladly give to the work of the Lord. The choir director then led the song, "Jesus Paid It All." The next Sunday, the preacher preached on gossiping and how we should watch our tongues. The hymn was, "I Love to Tell the Story." The preacher became disgusted over the situation, and the next Sunday he told the congregation he was considering resigning. The choir then sang, "Oh, why not tonight?" This is not an autobiography, by the way. When the preacher resigned the next week, he told the church that Jesus had led him there, and Jesus was taking him away. The choir then sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Amen. I have one more for you. A teacher's in class with a bunch of students and younger children, and she says, "Who was the first human beings?" One student raises his hand, "Adam and Eve were." The teacher then asks, "And what religion was this Adam and Eve?" The student replied, "Communist, of course." The teacher responded, "And how do you know that they were communists?" Student said, "Easy. They had no roof over their heads, no clothes to wear, and only one apple between them, yet they still call it a paradise." Amen. All right, Jeremiah 5:22. When you found it, you could, would you please stand, read that one verse, have a word of prayer, and then you can be seated. Jeremiah 5:22. God's word says, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it, and though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it." And tonight I want to preach a simple message entitled this, "As Simple as Sand." Let's have a word of prayer and you can be seated. Father, we love you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the 6 years allowing me to serve here. I thank you, Father, for this church family who bears one another's burdens. I thank you for the folks who lift up each other in prayer. I think specifically of my wife, and I thank you for them. Lord, I pray you bless the service tonight. Lord, give me the words to say. God, I pray you put me aside, and I pray you speak to the people's hearts on this. It's a very simple matter. Very simple, but I believe very profound. And I pray you bless them. We love you and thank you now. Also, we ask in your name. Amen. God bless you, folks. You can be seated. By the way, before I forget, a lot of folks at Grace Baptist of Quincy say hi to you all. I know a lot of you folks, know Pastor and Mrs. Angel personally. They've been blessing to them, so they want to say hi to you tonight. They don't want to forget to tell you that. All right, here in the message here tonight, by way of introduction, let me give you a brief background of Jeremiah. I know I'm speaking to the choir. Overall, Jeremiah, I would say, in my opinion, is not a book of encouragement. Now, let me say, if I can preface that statement, there are definitely some encouraging elements found in the book. Things like Jeremiah 29:10, where God promises to return the people of Judah back home after being in captivity for 70 years. Or like Jeremiah 33:3, one of my favorite verses, where God says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." A great verse to claim, by the way. Or in Jeremiah 31:34, where God says, "He will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more." Or in Jeremiah 29:11, where God has thoughts of peace towards us. So yes, there are many wonderful promises and principles that God has laid out in His precious book. But overall, I believe Jeremiah, overall speaking, is a book of rebuke and of warning of coming judgment. As you look at the events of this book, you'll notice that God, He sends the prophet Jeremiah to the people of Judah. He's warning them to get right or else judgment will come. You also notice the people that Jeremiah is preaching to. The people Jeremiah is preaching to, the audience, the people that he's warning to get right, these are not lost heathens. These are not Canaanites. They're not Amalekites, any of those ites. But in fact, the people that God sent Jeremiah to preach to are the Israelites. These are God's people that Jeremiah sent to preach to. People who have been taught the Scriptures. People who have been blessed and protected by God. People who have come from descendants who saw many miracles such as God parting the Red Sea. I can picture being one of those Israelite boys or girls sitting on my grandfather's lap saying, "Granddad, tell me another story about the Red Sea. Tell me how God split it in half." These are the people who God sent Jeremiah to talk to and to warn. People who knew of the wilderness and how God fed them with manna, how destroyed the giants and the walled cities in the land of Canaan, and on it goes. If I could put it like this, and you compare them to today's vernacular, you would compare these to born-again Christians who know God's Word and have seen God answer prayers. People who go to church. People who realize that there is a lost and a dying world that needs a Savior and people need to hear the Gospel. So God is talking to these people, His people. However, there's a problem. His people, God's people, these people are backslidden. They know to do right. They understand how to fear God, but they just don't want to live right. They just don't want to honor God. They don't want to serve God. So again, God sends Jeremiah as a messenger to the people of Judah, warning them. And just to give you an example of the problem or the sin problem taking place here, quickly go to Jeremiah chapter 5, same chapter, verses 7 to 9, Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 7 to 9, same chapter we started out in, verses 7 to 9. I'll read these real quickly for you. It says, "How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are no gods, when I had fed them to the full. They then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife." And verse 9, "Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?" Look at verse 7, God says, "I have fed them to the full," meaning God's blessed His people. We see that in verse 7, how much God has blessed the people of Judah, His people there. But in verses 7 to 8, they choose to live wickedly. In spite of all the blessings, they say, "You know what, we're not going to honor God. We're not going to go God's way. We're going to cater to our flesh and just do what we want to do." And that's why God says in verse 9, "And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?" What he's saying, he said, "Listen, I can't turn a deaf ear and a blind eye anymore to this. I'm looking at your sin, constantly turning your back on me, constantly, if you will, spitting in my face, constantly going against me. I've got to deal with her actions." All of you parents in this room, you can relate to that when you have a child. Of course, no one would admit to this, but you have a child who is disobedient. And you know if it's not dealt with, the disobedience will not go away on its own. It's got to be dealt with. Okay? And so that's kind of the what's going on here. God is looking at His people saying, they constantly are turning their back on me. I've got to deal with them. And you see an overall big picture of what God is dealing with in verse 11 when He says, "For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord." So when we come to Jeremiah 5:22, the verse I read in the beginning, God's not addressing people who are curious and desire to learn about respecting God or people who want to fear the Lord, but rather He's dealing with people who know about God but could care less about God. So now we have a better understanding, I believe, of Jeremiah 5:22, that people don't respect or revere God, and so I believe that God desires to remind... So the people here, they don't respect God, they don't revere God. So here in verse 22, I believe God desires to remind the people of His power, of His omnipotence, of who He is. And in verse 22, He says to the people, "Fear ye not me? Will ye tremble at my presence?" He's saying, "Listen, I'm God Jehovah. Don't you have any reverence or respect for who I am? I'm the God who gave you life. I'm the God who gave you freedom. Have you no respect? Have you no fear for me?" And He uses an interesting example to prove His point. He used the example of sand and the ocean to prove His point. The verse continues in verse 22. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. So to illustrate His power, He uses two elements found in nature. The first one, sand, and the second one is waves, or vice versa. The first one is the ocean, the second one is the sand. He said the ocean and the waves are contained and controlled by the sand. Now listen, folks, it's easy to glance over this verse and not recognize the magnitude of what He's saying here. So let's look at this verse in more detail if I can and grasp what God is trying to say if I can here. First, let's look at the oceans or the waves. God lets us know the power of the waves and the oceans when He says these words, toss themselves and they roar. Now, science has never been my strong suit. Of course, many subjects have never been my strong suit. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I taught in the school for a while. Amen. Praise God. Welcome back, SBA. All right. Well, let me get a little bit scientific if I can for a moment. I'm going to read this verbatim because I'll mess it up if I don't. The tides of the ocean are a result of the gravitational attraction between the Earth, the Sun, and the Moon, and the centrifugal force due to the relative motions of the Moon around the Earth and the Earth around the Sun. Okay, let me simplify if I can. I don't understand it either. I read the thing. All right. It says, as the moon goes around the earth and the earth around the sun, this has a direct effect on the tides. The point being, the tides are a very powerful thing, being that they're controlled by the sun, the moon, and the earth. Then you have to also take in consideration when thinking about the waves, the high tides and the low tides, also caused by the moon and the gravitational pull. Now, the reason I bring all this up is not because I'm interested in any future in science, but to simply make this point. With over 71% of the Earth of surface being filled with oceans, let me start that over. To simply make the point, with the water making 71% of the Earth's surface, and then the oceans being controlled by the moon and the sun, you have a massive force in the oceans and the waves. Now, you might be saying to yourself, man, the waves and the oceans, they certainly show the power of God. And I say amen to that. I agree, they certainly do. Psalm 89, verse 9 says this about the waves and the ocean. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. So we see God's power over the ocean and the waves, and it shows His power. But the other element He mentions, which is the one I think really is even more profound, is the sand. And I believe it shows a greater degree the power of God. And the reason why I say I believe the sand shows to a greater degree the power of God and His might is because He uses something as simple as sand to stop the powerful and mighty force of the waves and to keep them confined. Listen, if you've ever been in an ocean before, you know how powerful the ocean is. The waves come pounding over and over and over again. You understand, if you've been there, how powerful those waves are, the undertow and all those things. But He says that the sand, simple sand, limits that power. Simple sand. There's not much to sand. I have a simple illustration. All I have here is a simple bag of sand. If you were to take the sand here, you'd realize there's not much to it. It's very simple. Not much to sand. It's a very simple element, nothing to it really. And that's the point. God uses that sand to control the sea because He is a God and He's powerful enough to do it. Genesis 18:14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Showing the power of God, how He uses something as simple as sand to stop something as powerful as the waves. I love how Matthew Henry, he comments on Jeremiah 5:22. He says this, though the tides flow with a mighty strength twice every day, and if they should flow on a while would drown the world, though in a storm the billows rise high and dash to the shore with incredible force and fury, yet they are under check. They return, they retire, and no harm is done. This is the Lord's doing. He has placed the sand for the bound of the sea, not only for a mere stone to mark out how far it may come and where it may stop, but as a mound or fence to put a stop to it. A wall of sand shall be effectual as a wall of brass to check the flowing waves, when God is pleased to make it so. So again, if you didn't get the point, let me just say it one more time. God uses something as simple as sand to stop something as powerful as the mighty waves in the ocean. And I want to use that thought tonight to make a couple applications if I can. I will not be long, just a few applications. And just some spiritual application where God uses some basic things, some simple things in our lives to help us from getting out of control. So again, I'll give you some comparison. Just as God uses something as simple as sand to stop something as powerful as waves, I'm going to give some application where God uses some things that are just very simple and basic to stop us from getting out of control. And just before I mention these few things here, to give a disclaimer if I can, when I say simple, I do not mean second class. I do not mean worthless, and I do not mean of no value. When I mention these things here, I'm not saying they're second class or worthless by any means. Please don't misunderstand me. But rather, these things in and of themselves are not difficult, but they really work wonders in your lives. He uses these simple things to stop the powerful from us getting out of control. So number one, the first simple thing that God uses, which is a powerful force in our lives, is the Word of God. The Word of God. If you have your Bible, go to Psalm 119, verse 30. Psalm 119, verse 30. Psalm 119, verse 30. The longest chapter in the Bible. Whenever we have a member join the church, if any oppose, quote Psalm 119. No one ever speaks up. Amen. So the... Psalm 119, verse 30. God's Word says in verse 30, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." In order for God's words to give understanding to those who are simple-minded, it needs to be simple enough for them to understand. Again, I'm not saying God's word is second class. Please don't misunderstand me tonight. But but God's word can be simple enough for the simple-minded to understand. Let me give you a simple illustration. You would all agree with this if you're saved in this room. The day you trusted Christ as your Savior, you probably didn't know a lot of doctrine. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you did. But let me give my illustration. When I got saved, I knew nothing about the Bible except the fact that I was a sinner. I deserved hell for my sins. And Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven. That's all I knew. And I got down on my knees knowing those simple, basic things. And it changed my life. You know, a preacher got up here and talked about being encouraged and how, he said, "I'm glad Brother Jason's encouraged." You know, whenever I'm down and discouraged, you know what encourages me? I'm a child of God. I remember that. Every time. It never fails. Never fails. Look, I tell people at Grace Baptist all the time at Quincy. Because I've been there long enough to know what they're thinking. Well, before they even say anything, it's kind of scary there. But I could tell some folks were going through a difficult time without them having to say anything. And I just felt led of the Holy Spirit to say something like, you know, some of you folks might be going through a difficult time right now. Some of you folks in this room might be going through a trial in your life or a situation you wish you weren't in. But I tell you, let me remind you, if you're saved, you know where you're going someday. You know heaven's your home. You know no more pain, no more suffering, no more cancer, none of that. None of it. Because you're going to heaven. Huh? Man, that'll encourage you. That'll fire you up, I tell you what. And so again, when I got saved, I didn't know a lot of doctrine. All I knew was I was a sinner deserving to go to hell. And Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven. I trust Him as a personal Savior. Now listen, so you don't misunderstand me. We need, regarding God's Word, we need to be in awe of God's Word. Because it is the words of God. We should defend it and live it and stake our very lives on it. But the simple point I'm trying to get at is that we should not be so intimidated by God's Word thinking that it's so far over our heads that it cannot help us. Because it can help you. Let me give you an example. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 to 3. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 to 3 says this, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. It's like milk to those baby Christians so they can't understand. I'm enjoying spending time with my brother Scott and Linnea. I love spending time with them. They're a blessing to me, and I hope it embarrasses them here. But I know with Lincoln growing, Scott says, Linnea, you got to start giving him real food. I say amen to that. And of course, Linnea says, no, honey, he's got to have regular milk still. And of course, it's a wonderful time back and forth talking about that. And I'm with Scott, amen, Jen, or Scott, excuse me. But the point I'm trying to make here is we understand babies, physically speaking, they need the milk in order for them to get the sustenance. And he says in 1 Peter 2, verses 2 to 3, God's Word is compared to the milk to those baby Christians so that they can understand. However, let me take it to the other side of the spectrum. This precious Word can also become simple to those who need to be simple, but it's also compared to that of strong meat in Hebrews 5, verse 12. You know, I'm always amazed when I'm preaching there at the church there in Quincy. I'll have a message on my mind. I'm just kind of a simple-minded preacher. I don't go too deep. I just try to keep it on the surface so folks understand. And I always get nervous thinking, what about the more spiritually mature folks in the audience? Am I going too shallow? Are they going to get it? And at the same time, I'm thinking, what about the brand new Christians? Am I going too deep? Am I going below them? But that's the miracle of God's Word. Isn't that amazing? Man, you can preach on something on God's Word, and the Holy Spirit can say one thing to this brother over here who's spiritually mature, and one thing to this sister over here who's a brand new babe in Christ. It helps all of them. Man, I love it. And I have something about the Word of God. It's simple for those who are simple, but it's a strong meat for those who are mature. God's Word will do the miraculous and give understanding and make the simple wise. Psalm 19, verse 7 says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise is simple. So God's perfect Word, which is holy and miraculous, is like that saying in Jeremiah chapter 5:22, in the sense that it guides, it directs, it protects. So let me say to you, Christian, as myself as well, don't be afraid of it. Don't be intimidated by it, but read it and apply it to our lives. Now, let me be real for a second. I'll be transparent. I'll talk about myself. Sometimes I get so busy and so wrapped up in things going on in my life that I'll be reading God's Word and I'll read the chapters and I'll totally forget anything I just read. My mind is preoccupied and something else going on. And after a while, you know, if that goes on long enough, it gives you conviction, start setting in from the Holy Spirit. Say, man, I had something for you. You just totally missed it because your mind's preoccupied. And then I find I have to start slowing down and read the chapter a little slower. Maybe get the context a little better. And maybe get what God is trying to say. And I find when I slow down, when I just stop and just look at that verse, that chapter over and over again, not worried about meeting my quota for how many chapters I have to read, but just slowing down and looking at the chapter, that's when the treasures start to open. That's when He gives you something from God's Word. Man, I never saw that in there. You ever been there before? Amen. And look, I challenge you. Like this challenged me when I was preparing this message. I challenge you. Read a chapter. I mean, really read a chapter. When you're doing your devotions, just, and again, I hope I'm not trying to discourage anyone, but maybe for just one day, just don't worry about your quota. How many chapters are you going to read? Just take one chapter and say, I'm going to read this chapter slow. I'm going to go through every verse slow. I'm going to see what God has for me. I'm going to maybe spend some time, Lord, in prayer saying, God, please open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Just show me something from Your Word because I need something today. And when we go slow, you'll see that, again, notice, I'm not disrespecting God's Word, but you'll see the wonders of the simpleness of God's Word come out, man, do it miraculous in your heart. In your heart. So I challenge you there, Christian. Allow it to make you grow and produce wisdom and understanding. So again, number one, God uses something simple like the Word of God to stop us from getting out of control spiritually. Number two, the second simple thing that God uses, which is a powerful force in our lives, is prayer. If you have your Bible, go to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 to 12. 1 Kings 19, verses 11 to 12. This is a famous story when God's talking to Elijah. It says in 1 Kings 19, verse 11 to 12. I'll give you a minute to find it there. 1 Kings 19, verses 11 to 12. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. You know, John R. Rice coined the phrase when he said, prayer is asking. You know, prayer in its simplest sense is nothing more than talking to God. It's the simple concept, just talking to God. And you know, in these two verses, God was speaking with Elijah, and God was not in the big things, the strong wind, the earthquake, or the fire, but He was in a still, small voice. A still, small voice. It's quiet. Let me ask you, Christian, how many of us have a place in our house or somewhere, maybe in our place of work, a place we call a quiet place? We can get alone and spend some time in prayer with God. I remember when I first got saved, I first got in church there in Wallingford, Connecticut, and Pastor Bishop was preaching, and he preached on just the basics. I mean, I was brand new to everything. And I remember he preached on having a walk with God, which I had no idea what that meant, and just talked about spending time talking with God in prayer, and Him talking to you through the Word of God. And he challenged us, man. He said, listen, try to get alone with God. Picture yourself being with God in your prayer room. So I remember I did this a couple times when I was a brand new Christian. I went down in my prayer closet. It was our office down in our basement there. And I went down in my prayer closet, and I put a chair, a blank chair right here. And I sat here, and the blank chair was there. Empty chair was there, not blank. Empty chair was there. And I pictured God being in that chair. And spend time talking to him. Now listen, I wasn't irreverent, disrespectful, but I want to get the idea. I wasn't talking to the wall. It wasn't a mechanical thing. I was talking to somebody. I'll never get over that. How many of us have a quiet place in our home where you get alone with God? How many a place where we can really spend some quality time talking to Him? This is what convicts me. He's there in that chair every day wanting to spend time with me. But how many times do I forget to spend time with Him? And here's the one even thing that's more convicting. He's there the next day. When I come back to Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't come to you like I should have. I didn't spend time with you like I should have. But He's still there waiting for me. You know, this will blow your mind. I always tell the folks this in the church. I say, listen, our God who created the earth in 6 days, He spoke it into being. He was so powerful, He just spoke the worlds into being. He wants to spend time with you and me. I'll never get over that. Ever. But again, we're busy. And pulled in so many directions. It's hard to get alone and be quiet. The TV is on. The internet is on. The cell phone is going off. There are always things pulling for our attention. And you start get down and you're sitting down in your prayer closet. You're talking to God and the cell phone comes off. And you promise yourself you won't look at it. But you look at it anyway, right? Because we're creatures of habit. And man, you get so convicted. Man, you throw that thing out the window. I tell you what. And I should do it myself. Amen. But look at things are always pulling for our attention and our time, and He desires to spend time with us. Folks, prayer is such a simple thing, but God gave it to us as a way for us to get a hold of Him. God uses it to make the miraculous happen. James 5:16 says this, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual and fervent prayer. It's not 1, 2, 3, and I'm done. It's spending some quality time with the Lord in that prayer closet. Getting on your face before God. And you get there and you say, God, I have nowhere else to go. I need you to help me. And the tears start coming and they start flowing. And maybe when you get off your knees and you get out of your prayer closet, maybe the prayer hasn't been answered yet, but you know you spend some time with your Heavenly Father. Huh? Man, I tell you what, that just fires me up, gets me excited. So, I love the fact that we have an avenue for us to get a hold of God. Again, that prayer time being another way for us to spend time with God, to keep, if you will, that simple thing to keep our life from getting chaotic. Now let me finish up with this thought and I'll be done. Going back to the elements of the ocean, the waves and the sand. Just think about the waves and the sand again, if you would. What if God took away the sand? Just think about that. What if something as simple as sand was removed from the beaches? What would keep the waves back? Nothing, as far as I know. Nothing would keep them back. When something so simple is removed, chaos happens. Now listen, I just preached here for about a half hour or so about something simple as a devotional life. Reading your Bible and praying. And reading your Bible, praying, and going to church even are very simple things to do, very basic. But really, we understand they are also very powerful things because when removed, when taken away, our lives become chaotic spiritually. It's just like if God took the sand away. The oceans have freedom just to go and take over the rest of the land. And I think the end result would be chaos spiritually. More chaotic lives without the simplicity of reading our Bible and praying. And I think that's our problem sometimes. We think prayer, Bible reading, faithfulness in church, those things of God are so simple and so basic, they really can't help me. Or on the flip side, you think, it won't hurt me if I let up. I mean, it's just reading your Bible. It's just praying. It's just coming to church. It's just sand. But it stops a mighty force of the ocean. It's just the Word of God. But it saved yours and my soul. Huh? And it helps us through a difficult time. It's just prayer. It's just talking to the God who created the earth in 6 days. It's talking to the God who has the power to answer our prayers. The God who's there, who desires to spend time with. It's just prayer. Why do it? It's just church. It's just coming here and someone preaching. It's just church. But again, getting into fellowship with the believers, getting under the preaching of the Word of God, and of course getting soaked when the guy spits at you, praise the Lord. Amen. If I don't sit in the front row of my church, amen. But listen, hey, my simple thing, listen, the point I'm trying to make, those simple things, the prayer time, the Bible reading, the church attendance are so simple, but they're so powerful. Because when you apply them to your life, when you're faithful in that prayer closet, when you're faithful in reading that Bible, when you're faithful in going to church, you start watching things get a little less chaotic. You watch things get more balanced, if you will, in your life. You watch, maybe the problems will come, but it doesn't feel as hard hit, if you would. You notice there's someone there who can help you. So Christian, listen, I hope this message is either a challenge or a reminder. A challenge to start having a time to read your Bible and pray if you don't already. Or a reminder to keep reading your Bibles and praying. Because I believe it would help to make our lives that less chaotic when we do the simple things like reading our Bibles and praying. It's just simple as saying, yes, so powerful. Let me ask you all to bow your heads and close your eyes if you would. Let me ask you a couple of questions if I could with heads bowed and eyes closed. How many in this room would say, Pastor, I needed that message. There's something, maybe it's a prayer time, maybe it's a Bible time. Maybe I need to be reminded about just reading my Bible and praying. If that's you tonight, would you raise your hand? God bless you. My hand's up as well. Just let me challenge you, Christian. Don't ever stop reading that Bible. Don't ever ask God to give you something from that precious Word. Don't ever stop praying. Don't ever stop believing that God's Word, God can. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does avail much. Don't ever stop being faithful in the house of God, realizing, man, God can work miracles when you hear the preaching, can encourage you. The fellowship of the believers can fire you up, get you excited. I'm going to have a word of prayer. I say amen, have you all stand. When the music begins to play, use the altar as long as you like. Spend some time with Him. Again, maybe you need to thank Him that He's given that you've had a devotional life and you've seen Him work. Or maybe you need to say, Lord, I need to start doing that. Father, I pray You bless this invitation. I thank You for these dear people. For my family, spiritually speaking. And we're all sinners in this room. And we're all busy. And I believe in our innocence, we don't necessarily mean to miss our Bible and our prayer time and our faithfulness in church, but we get busy and caught up in the rigmarole and we forget how important, how powerful the simpleness of God's Word and the prayer and the church services are, because they are so powerful. Lord, help us to never stray from your Bible, stray from the prayer closet, stray from church, because those powerful things will help keep our lives in check, to keep it from getting chaotic. Lord, I pray you bless the invitation, help God's people tonight. I thank you for the folks in Quincy. I pray you bless them, be with them as well. Also, we ask in your precious, holy, and saving name, amen. Would you all stand? As music begins to play, you can come.